Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods podcast. This episode is all about
ghost ships.
Yes, it is. But first of all, we've got a new patron to give a shout out to.
Sin.
Yeah. Hi, Sin. Thank you so much for becoming one of our patrons. We really appreciate the support for the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/thewhisperingwoods. I've also got an email I'd like to read out. This one is from Jennifer, and she says, I love this podcast. Sarah, I love your voice. This was meant for you. And I love when Toby says, yes, I am. I love ghost stories, and when I found your podcast, I can't stop listening to it. Thank you for giving me a peace of mind that monsters are real. Hugs to both. Oh, and hugs back to you, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So, ghost ships. I'm assuming that you're not going to be too keen on this topic because of your fear of the sea.
I think I've heard some of it, but I can't really, I can't really remember, but I know I've heard something about it. Like, just ghosts, like, ships just in it, like, where they're just floating along, nobody on them.
Mm-hmm.
Or where they're, like, half sunken in the middle of the ocean, but they haven't reached the bottom yet.
Yeah, those ships can be sort of when, yeah, like, people see a ghost of the ship. But they can also be when something's happened, so nobody's on board.
Mm.
And so the ship is just there, but nobody knows what went on.
Yeah.
So I've got about, I think it's about six. So I've done it, I've split it into three parts. So I've got like three ships in the first part and then another two or three ships. And then I've got a story, a retelling of a story about a ghostly ship. Okay, I thought I'd break it up a bit because otherwise it'll be one really long piece. So are you ready for the first lot of ghost ships?
Yes, I am.
The Goodwin Sands, located off the coast of Kent, England, are notorious for their treacherous conditions and have been the site of numerous shipwrecks over the centuries. These shifting sandbanks are also steeped in legends of ghost ships. The Goodwin Sands have been a serious shipping hazard for hundreds of years, earning the nickname the Ship Swallower. The sands lie 6 miles off the coast of Deal in Kent and form a 10-mile sandbank known for its capacity to engulf ships The number of shipwrecks in the Goodwin Sands is estimated to be around 2,000, making it a graveyard of vessels and a source of numerous ghost ship tales. One of the most famous ghostly vessels associated with the Goodwin Sands is the Lady Loveybond. The legend tells of a schooner that was wrecked on the sands on February the 13th, 1748, and is said to reappear every 50 years as a ghost ship. The story goes that the ship's captain, Simon Reed, had just been married and was celebrating with a cruise to Portugal. Despite the long-standing sailors' superstition against bringing a woman on board, Reed brought his bride Annetta with him. Legend states that the first mate, John Rivers, harboured a jealous rage for the captain's young wife. While the newlyweds and their guests revelled below deck, Rivers, consumed by envy, seized a heavy club-like belaying pin from the rail. Silently approaching the crew member at the wheel, he struck a single devastating blow, causing the ship to veer onto the perilous Goodwin Sands. The tragic outcome claimed the lives of everyone aboard. The Phantom Lady Loveybond made her first alleged appearance on February the 13th of 1798, witnessed by at least two ships, the Edinbridge, captained by James Westlake, and a fishing smack. The supposed sighting in 1848 further convinced local seamen that a wreck had indeed occurred, prompting them to dispatch lifeboats from Deal in hopes of rescuing survivors. In 1948, Captain Bull Prestwick reported sighting the ghostly vessel, describing it as eerily real, yet emitting a haunting white glow. However, no sightings were recorded in 1998. The Goodwin Sands harbour other maritime mysteries, including two additional phantom ships, the SS Montrose and the Shrewsbury, a man of war. The stories of Goodwin Sands and its ghost ships are a blend of historical shipwrecks, maritime superstitions, and local folklore. They serve as a haunting reminder of the dangers of the sea and the mysteries that still captivate the imagination of those who hear them. The Flying Dutchman is a legendary ghost ship that has become a symbol of nautical lore. The origins of the legend date back to the 17th century, during the golden age of the Dutch East Indian Company, VOC. The ship is said to be doomed to sail the oceans forever, never able to make port. The myth likely began with the VOC fleet, which was the largest in the world at the time. And the ship itself is often described as a fluit, a type of Dutch cargo vessel. The most common version of the legend involves the captain, Van der Decken, who made a rash pledge to round the Cape of Good Hope during a storm and was condemned to sail the route for eternity as punishment for his arrogance. Its appearance is accompanied by a ghostly light. The ship is often seen with a spectral glow, and its appearance is considered an ill omen, signalling misfortune or disaster. One of the most haunting aspects of the legend is the claim that the crew of the Flying Dutchman, trapped in their eternal voyage, may try to communicate with the living. It's said that they attempt to send messages to land, or even to people who have long passed away. These messages are often described as dire warnings or cryptic communications from the beyond, adding to the ghostly lore surrounding the ship. The legend also includes variations where the captain, in his defiance, directly challenges the forces of nature or even God, leading to the curse that binds him and his crew to sail the seas forever. This defiance and the subsequent curse are central to the story, symbolising the consequences of arrogance and the internal struggle against the elements. Sightings of the Flying Dutchman have been reported over two centuries, particularly during bad weather or storms. Sailors have often regarded the sight of the phantom ship as an omen of doom or impending disaster. One of the most famous sightings was recorded in 1881 by the future King George V of England. The sighting of the Flying Dutchman by the future King George V is one of the most notable in history. On July 11, 1881, while on a three-year voyage aboard the HMS Bachant, Prince George, who would later become King George V, and his brother Prince Albert Victor, witnessed the ghostly ship. The crew reported seeing the Flying Dutchman in a glowing red light at 4 a.m. near Australia. The event was recorded in the Prince's log and has been cited as one of the most credible sightings of the legendary phantom ship. The report by such a prominent figure added to the mystique of the Flying Dutchman and has been a point of reference for those who believe in the ship's existence and its supernatural appearances during adverse weather conditions. British writer Nicholas Monsarrat also claimed to have seen the Dutchman's eerie visage in the Pacific during his service in World War II. Even Admiral Karl Dönitz, a German U-boat commander, is said to have mentioned his crew's sightings during the same war. Residents along Glencairn Beach in South Africa have reported seeing the ship's apparition, which vanishes just before disaster strikes. The sightings are often attributed to a mirage or optical illusion known as Fata Morgana, which can make distant objects appear distorted or ghostly, especially over water. The SS Valencia was an iron-hulled passenger steamer with a tragic history. Built in 1882 by William Cramp and Sons for the Red D Line, the Valencia was originally intended for service between Venezuela and New York City. Throughout her years, she served various routes and purposes, including as a troop ship during the Spanish-American War. However, the Valencia is most infamously known for her wreck on January 22, 1906, off the coast of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, which is often cited as one of the worst maritime disasters in the graveyard of the Pacific. The ship ran aground near Pechena Point during a stormy night, and the series of events that followed led to the loss of over 100 lives, including all women and children aboard. Following the disaster, several ghost stories and local rumours emerged. 6 months after the sinking, a lifeboat with 8 skeletons was reportedly seen in a nearby sea cave at Pechena Bay. Over the years, there have been reports of lifeboats rowed by skeletons, sightings of the Valencia's victims, and even apparitions of the ship itself in the area. The remains of the SS Valencia can still be seen along the beach and rocky shoreline near Pechena Beach, serving as a sombre reminder of the tragedy and fueling the legend that has persisted for over a century. That place sounds dodgy as.
Yeah.
Your fear of the sea, I'm assuming you wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Nah. I mean, the thing is, I'd love to have a super yacht. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like thinking about it. Like, oh.
But would you actually? Yeah.
Because, like, you're in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of nowhere. And it's not even a factor in the middle of nowhere. It's just, if you know, only 5% of creatures in the whole ocean has been discovered.
Mm.
And that is not a lot.
No, it's not. And it's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think I'd find when I have been at sea really freaky is when you look like 360 and everything looks the same.
Mm.
And you get that kind of panic sets in. I've had it before when I got disorientated on the moors on Dartmoor and the fog came in and I couldn't tell which direction I was facing. And it's that sheer, it is like a primal panic that sets in for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm bad enough when I get locked in the toilet. So I know it's not claustrophobia, but it's that same kind of feeling. Because you're trapped, aren't you?
Yeah.
You could jump in the water.
But that's just going to make things worse,
isn't it? Exactly. 100 times worse. Right, are you ready for the second lot of ghost ships?
Yes, I am.
In the vast expanse of the Atlantic Ocean, a ship drifts aimlessly, a vessel caught between realms, forever eluding the embrace of the land. This is the Mary Celeste, a name whispered with both awe and trepidation across generations. The year is 1872. Off the Ozarian Islands, sailors encounter an eerie sight. The Mary Celeste, an American registered merchant brigantine, adrift without a soul on board. The ship is in impeccable condition, its sails neatly furled, cargo intact, but its crew is conspicuously absent. Captain Benjamin S. Briggs, his wife Sarah, their young daughter Sophia, and 8 crew members have vanished. The Mary Celeste had embarked from New York, bound for Genoa, its purpose to ferry cargo across the vast seas. Yet when a neighbouring ship's crew boards the ghostly vessel, they find no answers, only silence. The logbook's last entry dates back 10 days, leaving no clues to the crew's fate. The cargo holds remain undisturbed. An assortment of alcohol barrels awaits delivery. Personal belongings, the captain's pipe, the crew's letters, lie untouched, frozen in time. But where are the souls who once inhabited this ship? Were they swallowed by the waves, spirited away by unseen forces, or drawn into another dimension? The Mary Celeste was born in Spencer's Island, Nova Scotia, christened as the Amazon in 1861. Later, under American ownership, it assumed its new name. Its voyages were unremarkable until that fateful 1872 journey. In Gibraltar, salvage hearings convened to unravel the enigma. Mutiny, piracy, insurance fraud, all theories floated, yet evidence remained elusive. The crew's fate defied explanation. The Mary Celeste continued its maritime existence, under new owners, but destiny had other plans. In 1885, off Haiti's coast, the captain deliberately wrecked the ship, a desperate act in pursuit of insurance fraud. And so, the Mary Celeste sails on, a phantom vessel etched into seafaring lore. The SV Kaz II, often referred to as the Ghost Yacht, is a 9.1-metre catamaran, that became the centre of a maritime mystery when it was found drifting 88 nautical miles off the northeastern coast of Australia on April the 20th, 2007. The yacht's three-man crew, residents of Perth, Western Australia, Derek Batten, 56, Peter Tunstead, 69, and James Tunstead, 63, were all missing under mysterious circumstances. The crew was relatively inexperienced, with the skipper, Derek Batten, having taken a sailing course and completed two extended trips around the Whitsunday Islands and to the outer reef prior to their disappearance. The CAS-2 had set sail from Arley Beach on April the 15th, 2007, heading for Townsville, Queensland, on the first leg of a journey intended to take them around northern Australia to Western Australia. The first sign of trouble came on April 18th, when a helicopter reported spotting the CAS-2 adrift near the Great Barrier Reef. When maritime authorities boarded the vessel on April 20, they described the scene as strange, because everything appeared normal, except for the absence of the crew. The table was set with food and flatware. A laptop was on and running. The engine was still operational, and the boat's emergency systems, including the radio and GPS, were fully functional. Life jackets were on board, and a small boat was hoisted on the stern, but there was no life raft. It's unknown if there ever was one on the yacht. The only sign of distress was a badly shredded sail. A forensic examination revealed no signs of foul play or third-party involvement. The cabin was tidy, except for some magazines, a piece of newspaper, and a wine cask on the floor. The Queensland Police concluded that the crew likely suffered a series of unfortunate events leading to their disappearance. An Australian coroner later ruled that the crew likely drowned in a freak accident. The scenario suggested that one brother fell overboard while trying to free a fishing line from the yacht's propeller. The other brother fell in attempting to rescue him, and Mr. Batten was knocked overboard by the yacht's boom as he tried to drop the sails and turn around. The coroner concluded that once in the water, the men, who were not strong swimmers, would have quickly become exhausted and drowned. The fate of CAS-2's crew remains unknown, and the mysterious circumstances of their disappearance have drawn comparisons to the infamous Mary Celeste. The story of the CAS-2 continues to intrigue and is often cited in discussions about modern maritime mysteries.
So the catamaran that they found empty, I find that really freaky.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can guess at what may have happened to the people, but they don't actually know for definite, because how would they know that one brother fell over, the other one tried to save him, the other one got whacked? You know, it just, how would you know that?
Yeah.
It's just, well, yeah, my worst nightmare, especially because you and I aren't that strong swimmers, are we? And those three men out there, apparently not strong swimmers, like, why didn't they have their life thingies on?
I don't know. But when I get a super yacht, I'm going to arm it, yeah, with air defences and below surface defences, and I'm going to have an escape submarine and jet skis.
Do you know, that would be my worst nightmare, getting in a submarine?
Nah.
Oh, that would be awful. Yeah.
Imagine that, though, but you're in a submarine and you just see a shark swim towards you. Mm-hmm. But it's fine, because the front of my submarine's going to have missiles on it as well.
I just wouldn't, I'd hate to be in a submarine. I couldn't think of anything worse, because that the claustrophobia that I'd feel from that, I just would die, and that would be the end of me forever and ever. Amen.
If I were to go on a trip with my super yacht, I'd probably like try sticking to the edges of like lands. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. Right, so the last bit is a retelling of a Reddit story. Are you ready for the story?
No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
You were just trying to confuse everybody then, weren't you? I've not shared this tale very often, only with a few close friends, join late night parties. And with the spooky season upon us, it feels like the right moment to share it. The memory still feels surreal as I recount the events. My 4-year tenure in the Navy exposed me to numerous oddities in the vast sea. Yet nothing compares to the incident I'm about to narrate. I served on a coastal patrol craft in the Persian Gulf, where our duties included inspecting fishing boats and cargo ships for illicit arms, drugs, and contraband. To protect operational security, I'll omit specific details about the ship and personnel involved. On a warm evening in July 2015, while navigating the northern Persian Gulf near the Iranian coastline, we intercepted a distress signal at around 10 p.m. The caller, a freighter captain, reported an unpowered fishing boat adrift in a busy shipping corridor, devoid of lights, signals, or visible crew, suggesting abandonment. We recorded the coordinates and reached the vicinity within 30 minutes. Despite the challenge, we pinpointed the vessel with night vision aids and radar. Our team, including myself, prepared to board the vessel to investigate. Given past incidents of enemy forces using decoy boats rigged with explosives, caution was paramount. We had lost sailors to such traps not long before my deployment. Our boarding was executed without incident, and my trio was tasked with searching the lower decks, encompassing the crew's living quarters and the engine room. The absence of any sign that the boat had been inhabited was baffling. My experience with boarding operations taught me that these vessels are typically homes at sea for weeks, often unkempt and malodorous due to limited fresh water. Yet this boat's living quarters were spotlessly empty. An unsettling sign that raised suspicions of a potential ambush. While not a bomb disposal expert, we were all versed in identifying explosives, though not in disarming them. An exhaustive search yielded no trace of explosives, leading us to speculate that the crew might have transferred to another ship following a mechanical failure. An inspection of the engine room revealed no signs of deliberate or accidental flooding or engine malfunction. Ultimately, our captain instructed us via comms to prepare the vessel for towing to our next scheduled port. After fastening the ship with a steel cable and specialised rope, we resumed our patrol southward. At 3 a.m, I was on night duty with two others in the command centre. Someone patrolled the deck, scanning for any notable activity. He reported over the radio unusual blue lights on and beneath the towed fishing boat, along with shadowy silhouettes resembling people on its deck, discernible through night vision as almost translucent figures. Having to verify these encounters, I descended to the captain's quarters to alert him. As we approached the stern, an intense fog enveloped us. Unlike the typical Gulf humidity, it obscured everything but the stars, and soon the fishing boat vanished from sight. The tow line tensed dangerously, as if being pulled from the other end, a potential hazard if snapped. The captain ordered the tow disengaged, but before we could act, the tension stopped and the line went limp, severed cleanly as if by a sharp blade.
The captain chose not to report the occurrence, rationalising that concealed stowaways might have been the cause of our sightings. Despite a comprehensive search, we found the vessel deserted, and I can attest to that. The absence of anyone on board negated the possibility of a hoax aimed at the US Navy. Although I've never been one to believe in supernatural phenomena, the experiences defies any conventional explanation. The incident became a topic of hushed conversations among us for weeks, and it wasn't long before we learned of a similar sighting by another patrol boat in the vicinity. This mysterious occurrence has since turned into an informal legend among the sailors and marines in the region, dubbed the Phantom Sailors of the Persian Gulf. Reflecting on that event, it remains unbelievable. It was an encounter that was both surreal and intensely real. I've only told the story to a select few, aware of how fantastical it sounds. Even now, I cannot fully comprehend what I witnessed, but it's an experience that will stay with me forever.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what do you reckon?
Yeah, spooky.
It is, isn't it? Do you think they were real people on there?
Yeah. But they, I don't know.
They checked it.
Yeah. I reckon it's people that have died in a boat accident. And
they're seeking for revenge.
That was a really good voice. I'm impressed. I think it's freaky that they could see figures on there.
Yeah.
If it rope hadn't have been cut, I think I would have cut it myself.
Yeah.
And set them free.
As soon as I see something that doesn't look right, I'll open fire.
Yeah, well...
Even if I see figures, I can't see them, I'm still open fire.
I doubt it.
I'm going to shoot at their boat because the boat would just sink then. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
They just drown second time.
Your logic sometimes amazes me, my son.
Yeah. Well, got to think quick, haven't you?
Yeah.
See a danger or a threat. Open fire.
Yeah, but they also teach you that you've got to take stock, you know, and have that that sort of millisecond reflection. Is this an innocent person? Should I be shooting them?
I don't care. I was like, yeah, well, you ain't got permission here, bro.
You'll be, like, trigger happy.
Because, yeah, I will. I'd be stood on the deck like...
Oh, dear.
Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed and we'll catch up again soon.
We will indeed. We will catch up with you again on Thursday. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.